Hello, love, and welcome to another episode of Leaders of Valor, Leadership Done the King's Way. What is our goal? As we discussed 2 weeks ago during our last session, the goal is for us to lead in all areas of business according to the way God intended, not the way culture tells us is best, but to follow the guidelines that God gives us in the best operations manual available ever, the Bible. It was written thousands of years ago, and it still stands true today. So I want to welcome you to Leaders of Valor. Thank you for joining me today. Today, we're going to talk about something that is always on the forefront of my mind with all the things we see going on in business, the things that happen in life. There's always something, always something, always something, whether it's you or somebody you know, somebody you love, always something. That shows up to disrupt our normal, right? So we're going to talk about that today and talk about what we do in times when the poop was permitted. The poop might be ordained, but we're going to talk about some things that we have seen in the Bible, as well as some of the things that you may have experienced in your own life. I know I have in both my personal and professional lives. These things can be redirected and used for a higher purpose. We know that God uses all things that we deal with to put us where He wants. So we're going to talk about that today. I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends, a lot of colleagues out in the business world who are going through a lot of poop right now. But what if the poop is actually ordained? What if it's all a part of the master's plan? What if in his operation manual that he wrote billions of years ago for your life, he already had this outline long before Earth was even a consideration. He knew that we would go through trials and tribulations and heartaches. But he also told us when Jesus walked the earth, he told us to take heart. He overcame the world. In other words, he went through some of the same trials and tribulations, and he was able to overcome by staying strong in the word, staying close to the Lord, and making it happen. So, what if the poop is ordained, right? What if this was intended for our lives? Before we start, we always want to open by asking Holy Spirit to be here in the midst. We pray that the words that come out of our mouths and to ears everywhere listening, we pray that it's what you want us to say, not what we want to say. We pray that your presence is here with us and that we will represent you well in all that we do, in our professional lives, our personal lives, in our educational lives. Everything we do, we want to glorify you because we are not the person who should be on the stage. You are, but you decide to use fallible human beings, people who live in this human form of mistake and sin to represent you to others who look just like us. So we appreciate having an opportunity to serve you. One, number two, we definitely want to make sure that Holy Spirit, God, you are seen, you are heard, you are felt through all that we do, every interaction that we have, every phone call that we make, every one-on-one that we sit in. We want you to be seen. You go before us, you lead us, and help our words to be ones that you are ultimately proud of. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. Thank you for showing up, and thank you for loving us. Most of all, thank you for your sacrifice that you made in the form of your son, Jesus, on the cross. No better gift than that. So thank you. So leaders of valor or loves, as I try to say often, because God loves leaders of valor, people who put him first, people who say, you know what, God, I don't know what I'm doing. God is all about the realness. I don't know what I'm doing. I want you to lead and guide me and direct every step of my path. Why? Because I'm clueless. I can try to do it my way, which is what culture often tells us. Try doing it your way and see how that works out. For me, it hasn't worked out well. So I want God to be at the helm and to lead us and guide us and direct us in all that we do. That way we know, regardless of what comes, even if there's poop in our lives, which ultimately there will be on this earth, you can't avoid it. You can try stepping around it, but you're going to step into it at some point. But regardless of what we encounter, we know that God is on our side. And if he is for us, who can be against us, right? So leaders of valor or love, good morning to you. I want to make sure that you are hearing what's being said today, because I believe it's very important. Sometimes in life, we see things that happen as always coming from the devil or the enemy. And one of the things that God has taught me over, and he's still teaching me, because sometimes I'm like, it's the devil. And he's like, no, that's me. There are some things that God allows. Remember, the devil can do nothing. Evil cannot reign unless God, they have to have permission. Demons can't cuss. They have to have permission. Either you give them permission or God gives them permission, or a combination of the two. God may say, you know what, as he did with Job, have you considered my servant Job? Look at Job in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and see how God had so much confidence in Job that Satan, who is always trying to make God seem unjust, right? That's his duty. He wanted to reign higher than God. How crazy is that? And he tried to show other beings, some of them which fell for it, which I don't understand. If you're standing in the realm of God, you fall for another angel who's nowhere near the level of God, saying that you are better than God, or you wanted to reign on the same level as his son. Huh? Stay in your lane. But anyway, his whole purpose is to show the world, the universe, these other worlds, beings who are looking down on us, that God is unjust. God is unfair. God has this unjust approach to leading the world or the universe. Satan wants us to believe that what God allows or intends or is meant to harm us. Why? Solely so that we can stop believing in him. Point blank, period. Solely that we can see him as an unjust God. And in some respects, he wins, right? There are things that happen in life where we're immediately throwing the onus on God. Even though God may allow certain things, he does not always ordain. He does not always initiate certain things. There's something called sin that was introduced back in the Garden of Eden, and that is where sin entered the world. Just as we have a choice daily, Adam and Eve had a choice until Adam bit the fruit. Eve picked it. She listened. Adam bit the fruit. And that's when it was considered the fall of humanity, because he was the first man. He was the one God created first. So when he actually indulged, that's when everything kind of came to a head. So even though Eve was like, oh, yeah, this look good. Oh, this tastes good. Here, Adam. As soon as he decided, instead of redirecting Eve, he decided that he was going to partake, and thus the fall of man presented. Who knows what could have happened if he would have been like, no, sis, I am not biting that fruit. God, I don't know what you're going to do with her, but I'm staying here in the garden. But Adam repped his set, and ultimately sin entered the world at that moment. So even though there are temptations, God never tempts us, but temptations can arise. There are situations that arise where God has allowed certain things to enter our human realm. Why? Not because he's trying to hurt us. He would never do that. What he's trying to do is grow us. For example, if you're in the gym and you're working out incessantly and you're lifting 5-pound weights, yet you want to walk around here looking like the Rock, I got some very bad news for you. It'll never happen. The purpose of growth in your muscles is so you can get stronger, right? Muscles grow, we get stronger, but then you have to move it to the next level. You have to keep growing. Anything that's not growing is dead. It's inanimate. It's something that no longer has life if it's not growing. So for my people who incessantly go to the gym and you pumping and you lifting, you know, because you lifted 50 pounds last week, 50 pounds may not help you reach your goal if you do it for another 7, 8, 9 years, right? You have to keep improving and keep growing yourself. That is the purpose of a lot of the trials and the tribulations that we face as human beings. It is not to harm us, even though God allows some of them to enter our realm. They're not meant to harm us, even though we may look at everything and say, this is the devil. Maybe the poop, for lack of a better word, that we're dealing with is not simply the devil. Maybe he did not have the power to say, I'm gonna put this in your life. Or maybe God allowed that trial to come in. Couldn't come in if he didn't allow it, right? Maybe he allowed that trial for a very specific purpose. For example, I'll use me. When I am praying for patience in a certain situation and praying that God grows me in patience, how do I grow? Do I never have a situation where I have to exude more patience and still grow where I need to or where I feel I want to? That's not how it works. Same as the muscle, example I just used, you have to continue to increase the weight to increase your muscle mass and your capacity. Once you get to where you've scheduled to be, guess what? You can keep lifting there, but your body is not going to respond in the same method. If you want to stay healthy, you have to keep increasing so your body can continue to get stronger and your muscles can continue to grow. The same is true for trials and tribulations. If you are praying for, God is very intentional and be careful what you pray for. I've learned. If you are praying for patience, guess what's going to happen when you leave your house in the morning? It's not going to be a clear road. You're not going to make it to work on time. You're going to probably get caught up in 3 or 4 accidents on your way, which is very common here in Dallas-Fort Worth, where I am, on your way to work. Why? Because God is growing. You asked him to grow your patience, and then you're upset and saying unsavory words because he's helping you where you requested help. But as human beings, as expected, he knows we cray cray. So he understands that we're going to respond in that manner when he's trying to grow us where he knows and we often know that we need to grow. For example, another patient's example, if you have kids that are pulling on your last nerve and you tell them, if you touch that, there are going to be consequences and repercussions. Guess what the kid going to do? If they're like the ones in my family, they will look you in the face like, what you gonna do? And then when you and you stand up, then it's like, oh, your patience is being grown just as you have requested. I think having a plethora of nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews and love them to death, but they are the best way to grow my patience. They are absolutely that in traffic, absolutely the best ways to grow our patience. Why? Because we love them so much, just as God loves us. We love them so much. Yet they try to test you and they try to push you and they try to, but if you can learn to not lay hands on them and deal with those situations that ultimately try to push you to a court case, yet you're dealing with them in a fashion where you're able to keep yourself calm and rationalize through. Guess what? You're growing in patience, just as you asked. And some of you didn't ask for it, but you're still getting it. Or you could fly off the handle and, you know, and what happens in that situation? It goes the opposite direction. We ruin relationships. We know a lot of kids grew up in such hostile environments where they don't even want to have anything to do with their parents, let alone have kids, because they see it as a negative, not a positive. So, if we handle it the correct way, which is the point of us going through trials and situations, then we know that we can progress to the next levels, like playing a video game. learn how to conquer this level, and then we're going to move you to a higher realm. The same is true in our professional lives. God wants to trust us with this amount, see how we do with this, grow us there, and then take us to the next level. We cannot move to the next level without that growth. And again, I always talk about stuff that I'm dealing with myself right now, currently, because that is what I can speak to effectively and honestly and openly. So that is one area, growing in patience. So when we say that the poop, what is poop? Any problem, any situation, any trial, we see it as this ain't good. I don't like this. This does not feel good. I entitle it poop. Some of you may use another word, but I entitle it poop. We're going to keep it PG. But in the midst of that, we understand that the poop may be sent from different sources. Is this poop allowed to enter my life so that I can grow in a certain realm? Case in point, if you need to grow in the realm of finance, if you need to become financially savvy in your business or in your personal life, both realms are equally as important. If you need to grow in finances, there may be some little irritation points in your financial life where, hold up, I should have been making this amount. I should have gotten this contract. The bills should have been paid. What happened? There may be things that God is using, even though we consider them poop, and that's from the devil. The devil is a lie. Sometimes it's not from him. Sometimes God has allowed this so that he can grow us effectively in that specific area. If you know that your finances need retweaking or you need to grow in that area, maybe God will get you irritated just enough so that you can seek out a seminar or webinar or an offering or read a book on financial peace and financial health. Maybe you'll go to your church. A lot of churches nowadays is well needed. They have financial guidance academies and financial health and financial peace academies. Maybe that's what he needs you to do so you can move to the next level. Case in point, there were so many people in the Bible, so many people in the Bible. And again, I'll implore you, if you do not have a Bible, you can download right on your phone the YouVersion Bible app, and I use it every day. YouVersion Bible app, phenomenal. It gives you a lot of updates, a lot of lessons. There are plans. I don't know if you could see all of that, but there are Bible plans at the bottom, and it is literally a Bible at your fingertips. You can download it and open it up when you just need a word. You can search by keywords, say you need advice on finances or patience, or and it'll bring you specifically to those stories in the Bible where God has put intentionally these things at our fingertips so that we can use them to grow ourselves. So the YouVersion Bible app, go ahead and download that, and it won't steer you wrong. You can have the Bible in various languages. I don't know how many different translations there are on there. I know I stopped scrolling at one point because I was like, I don't even know what all of these are. I've never heard of them. But it's amazing how many translations there are there. So whatever speaks to you, go with that. Ask for guidance to get to the right one, but go with that so you can have it at your fingertips. But in the Bible, there are so many different scenarios and narratives of people who had to go through poop to get where they were. Some of my favorites, Joseph, who in the book of Genesis was one of Jacob's sons. And if you're not familiar with the story, Abraham, who's known as the father of our faith because he followed God in faith and moved to a different land, Canaan, which is now known as Israel. He moved to this land long before he knew what it was, long before he saw the promise, long before he had a Bible to validate what happened at the end of the story, like we do. We're blessed to know what happened at the end of these stories. But imagine moving in faith and you didn't know what was going to happen. That's some serious faith. Because again, faith does not grow and it's not dictated by what we do when everything is going right. It's dictated by what we do when we can't see the end of the story. When we like, this don't feel good, but you said go left, I'm gonna go left. That is faith. That's where faith meets. When we can't make sense of it, but God says do it, that's faith. So in faith, Abraham moved to this land flowing with milk and honey. He was going to move to this land where his descendants would multiply and be as numerous as the sand on the seashore, as God told him. That was a covenant. If you follow me and recognize that I'm the one true God, and if your descendants keep this going, I will continue to bless your people. You will not be able to count the descendants that I'm going to give you. So out of that line, and by the way, Abram at the time, that was his name until God changed it to Abraham. Abram was 75 years old when he was told to uproot and move. So those of us who think we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, it's too late for me. God started this journey with Abram at 75. It's never too late. You still breathing? Get it moving. So Abram followed God's leading, and from there, you know, his descendants grew. He had a son, Isaac, which was the child of promise. He was 99 years old, 100 years old when Isaac showed up. But he trusted God. His wife was 90 years old when Isaac showed up. But you can read his story in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And it's amazing how Abram started this journey. But his sons, Isaac was his son, one of his sons. And Isaac had a son named Jacob. He was one of two twins, Jacob and Esau. But Jacob is the one, the line through which Jesus, the Messiah, was born. But Jacob had a son named Joseph. And Jacob had other wives. Long story. But the wife that actually bore him Jacob, that right wife's name was Rachel, who actually bore him Joseph. Rachel was Joseph's mom. She was the loved wife. She was the one Jacob loved more than any of the other wives. So Joseph was the beloved child, the chosen one. And Jacob showed favoritism. But long story short, Joseph was hated on by his brothers because Joseph had a big mouth. Joseph would always talk about the things God showed him in private. He would make it public. You know, some things you got to keep to yourself for a minute till God says it's okay to do otherwise. But Joseph would always say, "Hey, y'all know what? Good morning. I had a dream last night. Y'all were bowing down to me." So imagine having all these older brothers who are out there doing the hardcore work. And in that society, a very patriarchal society, the eldest brother was the one to get the birthright. He was the one who was usually favored. Not in all the Bible stories, though. It was a little different because God does things differently. But the eldest son was the one who should have been the one everybody was bowing down to, so to speak, because he would be the next patriarch in charge of the family once Jacob passed. But that wasn't the case. Joseph went back and told them, and he was a young teenager at the time. He had no sense. But he told them everything that God revealed to him in dreams. He didn't know to zip it and keep it under wraps for a minute. So his brothers started hating him. Joseph ultimately was sold out by his brothers, and he ended up in Egypt. He was sold into slavery by his own family, the people who should have loved him, but he ended up in Egypt. This was all ordained. He ended up as a slave in Egypt. He was placed in the care of Potiphar. Potiphar was one of the commanders of Pharaoh's army. He was second in line to Pharaoh at the time. And Potiphar took on Joseph. Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's house. And from there, Potiphar saw that God blessed everything Joseph did. Why? Because God still, even though Joseph went on the wrong path and talked too much, God still had a blessing on Joseph. And the same is true for us. Even though we may sway off track, he still has a blessing for us. So Potiphar saw that Joseph, everything Joseph touched turned to gold or platinum or whatever you want to call it, so to speak. Everything he did was A plus 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 quality. So Potiphar put Joseph in charge of all his household. Now, this is a slave. He put him in charge of everything in his household, and he didn't have to worry about anything in his house. I think the Bible says the only thing he had to worry about was what he wanted to eat for the night. Joseph took care of everything else, and he led by the Spirit of God to where this Egyptian who saw him as a slave at one point was now showing favor towards him. So Joseph went through a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations there in Potiphar's house. He was accused of something he didn't do, raping Potiphar's wife. She was a cougar, raping Potiphar's wife, which he never touched her. He was thrown in prison. But can you imagine how Joseph, who had these dreams at the age of 17 and then was sold into slavery by his brother's hand? His brothers went back and told the dad, guess what? Joseph dead. All we found is his coat with blood on it. So the whole family, well, the parents are thinking Joseph is dead. But Joseph sold into slavery. He's in another land that was foreign to him. But God had already prepared him for that. So think about it. Through all of this journey, from the time Joseph was sold into slavery, he became the lead in Pharaoh in Potiphar's house. Then he was put in a dungeon because of a lie Potiphar's wife told. He was put in a dungeon, but the guards there saw how well he did in the dungeon, and they felt the spirit of God on him. So guess what? Even as a prisoner, Joseph was put over all the prisoners. He pretty much ran the prison. Where does this happen, right? So Joseph's there, and he helped other men there and interpreted their dreams because that was one of his gifts. They got out, and the last thing he said to them was, "Tell Pharaoh about me. Don't forget about me." Guess what they did? One of them died. The other one, who was restored to his position as a cupbearer for Pharaoh, who stood next to Pharaoh day in and day out, he forgot about Joseph for 2 years. Joseph remained in the dungeon, but he remained faithful. He kept helping others, and he kept the order in the prison for the prison guard. So everybody loved Joseph. Everybody loved Joseph. Even in the midst of the poop, I guess Joseph was thinking, what kind of poop is this? God, you told me that I was going to be ordained by you. You told me that I was going to be sent by you, that I was going to do all these wonderful things. You laid out these dreams before me. My dad prepared me for being a strong leader. He told me I would never have to work in the fields and the herds like he did all his life. He wanted more for me. But here I am sitting in a dungeon. They're free. My brothers are free. My daddy's free, kind of, sort of, not mentally. They weren't. They were bound. But they have their freedom, and I'm here in prison. What kind of poop is this, right? I'm sure Joseph had to think, oh, this is some poop. But what God was doing during that process, he was showing him, I'm still with you. Look at the favor I've put on your life. Even in the poop. Even in a dungeon where it's wet and cold and nasty, and you're there with prisoners, and I'm still showing you favor. Why? Because I ordained this poop. The poop was scheduled. This is sent poop. Can you believe that? God actually sends poop if it's meant to grow us. So, in the midst of all of that, God was doing what to Joseph? He was refining him, he was growing him. He was ensuring that all the impurities inside of him were sloughed off. You know how you if you're a smith of any kind, blacksmith, coppersmith, whatever, usually when metals are heated, like gold, if gold is heated to a certain temperature, it liquefies. And in that process, anything that was impure or impure, all the impurities rise to the top. During the smelting process, it rises to the top and it's called dross. And the Bible speaks of how God will eliminate the dross or pull the dross off many times. And sometimes he has to put us in the fire and refine us. He has to heat us up. He has to get us to a place where we're melted, we're in a different form, we're liquidy, so that all the impurities can rise to the top. And then, as a smith does, he can clear us of all those impurities and prepare us for being as pure in what he's called us to do as we possibly can. Not meaning we're perfect, not meaning that, oh, I'm pure. No. What it means is he removed whatever it was he saw that was going to block us from reaching our best and ultimately fulfilling his purpose is what he is removing in those trials or the poop. When those poopy situations come, that is what it is. It's God refining us and growing us and developing us. And that is what he did for Joseph when he was in the dungeon. Whereas Joseph, you as I'm sure you can imagine, I'm going to assume Joseph had the same attitude I would have. Hold up. My sisters and brothers sold me out. They're the people I should have been able to count on regardless of what I did. That's my family. Our blood is the same. This is my family. And they sold me into slavery. So imagine the hatred and the regret and the anger that Joseph must have felt for a very long time. As many of us have experienced situations in our personal lives, our business lives, you don't get over those situations where people have wronged you. You don't get over that quickly. You just don't. We're human. It takes time to get over that. And even though we can say we forgive, well, forget it. I'm not worried about that. I forgive her or I forgive him. There's always a little bit of something that goes, I wish you would cross the street when the light is green. There's always something in the back of your mind. There's always something. There's always a memory or a feeling or a smell or some food or a holiday. Something is going to come up. And you're right back where you started. Oh, I can't stand her. That type of situation. And it was 10 times worse for Joseph because it was his family. Could you imagine? Some of you may have been betrayed by family. Imagine how Joseph felt just because he's in the Bible. Just because these narratives are in the Bible don't mean these people were perfect. And they said, thus said the Lord, I forgive you. It's okay. Sell me into slavery where I'm beaten every day. And I'm on my hands and knees scrubbing and people are kicking me and it's okay. Thus said the Lord. I'm a Bible figure. All is well. No, that's not how it went. These people were real. They were real. David is a prime example of that. David was one. I love David because he was real with the Lord, which is why God said he was a man after his own heart. He was real. God knew his heart because David exposed it all the time. I think it's chapter two or three of Psalm, chapters, I believe it's chapter two or three, where David, and I laugh every time I read it because David is like, how long are you going to let my enemies attack me? Real with God. Not, oh God, whatever you say, how long are you going to let this go on? Here's what I need you to do, Lord. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Huh? Shatter the teeth of the wicked. I'm like, oh my word, David went in. David was a warrior. He wasn't playing with them. But is that kind of response that lets you know these people were real? These aren't just stories. They were real human beings. They had no more, no less than we have. We respond the same way some of them responded in the Bible. So with that being said, Joseph was angry. He was very hurt, very angry, very upset, hated probably his brothers for doing this to him, because he was no longer in the realm. He couldn't even see his dad. He didn't know if his dad was alive or dead. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have TikTok or Facebook. They didn't have cell phones where they could get on the phone and be like, oh, daddy posted today, so he good. He did not know. He was hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away from his people. He didn't know what was going on at the time. He didn't know what was going on in his family. All he knew is, I'm here by myself. I have no more ties with my dad. I have no ties with my family. And being a favorite child who had always been under protection of his dad, imagine how he felt. I would assume he had very few sleepless nights the first couple of years he was in the dungeon. I'm sure he had very, very horrible, where his dreams used to be all positive. I'm sure he had some nightmares in there, you know. But at the end of the day, Joseph had to feel horrible when all of this occurred. So what do we feel? Horrible when people wrong us, when things don't turn out the way we assume they should, because we're human. We're human beings, and God knows this. We're not perfect. We never will be. Only one who roamed this earth, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the ultimate King. He's the only one that's perfect. So it's expected for us to have certain behaviors. But even if we say, shatter the teeth of the wicked, hold up, I should have got that promotion. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. How long are you going to let them do this to me? God is growing us even in those moments. You can come angry. You can come upset. You can be ticked off, all of that. You can say, this poop ain't fair. You could say, you could even use the other word for poop if you, God is real. Let's not pretend that he's real. He knows what you're thinking. He knows and he understands how we feel. He wants us to be real with him. So go to him and say, shatter the teeth of the wicked. He'll probably be like, But he's going to grow us in those moments. He's growing us. He's developing us. He's strengthening our muscles and making sure that we're strong enough to get over this, but to also put us in the next realm where he needs us to be so we can live out our purpose and fulfill our goals. So the next time we encounter the poop, guess what? Look at it as a growth moment. Use that poop and turn it into muscle milk to help us grow and develop into what God truly needs us to be. Does it feel good? Nope. I got some little poops, you know, those little smiley poops that you can use in emoji forms. I see those little poops every day. And I'm like, what you laughing at? That's not fun. But even in those moments, the poop is ordained. God is using some of that to grow us. There is no growth without pain. Does it feel good when you're used to lifting 20 pounds for a month in the gym and then you move up to 50? How does that feel the next day? Like somebody's going to kill you, right? Like somebody literally tore your muscles, which they did. You have little micro tears, and that's how you grow. Your muscles grow because of the little micro tears. When you push them beyond the limit, those little fibers start to expand and stretch. And then now I'm getting my background is healthcare. But anyway, I'm not going to get too technical, but that's how your muscles grow. They develop, they heal, they grow bigger because of the resistance and the poop that they've been introduced to. I don't know any muscle who's like, yeah, put more on me. Come on, put more. They don't want to do it, which is why they tremble, they shake, but you push them to get where you want them to be. The same is true for us. God has to sometimes allow us those hurts and those pains and push us where he needs us to be. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to grow us and develop us into the person who's needed to fulfill our purpose. So next time something comes our way, don't be like me and just say, this the devil. I must tell you, that's my go-to all the time. And then God, Holy Spirit has to remind me, the devil isn't in this situation. This is me. I'm allowing this so I can grow you. That contract was turned down because I need you to revise this part of your business plan. You didn't get that contract because maybe you need to work on this. You're not ready yet to go there. So focus on those areas. Let's grow through that pain. Push through that pain and grow yourself so that when you're ready, I'm going to call you to where I said I'm going to call you. And when you're on that stage, I need you to be ready because you're representing me. So the next time the poop comes, and I'm going to try to do this, Lord, you hear me? The next time the poop presents, let's use that and turn it into fuel for our muscles, right? Poop is fertilizer. Y'all know that, right? If not, I think I just ruined somebody's meal for the evening. Most of what we eat has been hit by fertilizer, whether it's wheat in the field, corn, heat, you name it. Fertilizer helps it to grow. And you can look up what's in the contents of fertilizer, but poop helps us to grow. It's fertilizer for our beings. It's fertilizer. Does it smell good? No. No, it doesn't smell good. It doesn't look good, it doesn't smell good, but it helps us to grow. And unfortunately, some of the situations and circumstances that we deal with in life are just that. On the outside, it looks like poop, but God knows he's using it as fertilizer to get us to what he needs us to be so that he can put us in our purpose and we can live there and represent him well in all that we do and say. So with that in mind, if you don't know the story of Joseph, go and read it. If you don't know the story of David, go and read it in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. The story of David is another one where there was a lot of poop. He was doing what God told him to do. And for years, he lived on the run as a nomad and a fugitive trying to get away from King Saul. But God ordained the poop to make him stronger. He became a better warrior. He was able to write some of the best psalms in the Bible during that time, but he was able to develop his skills and grow himself so that when God called him to the palace, he was ready. And God expects the same for us. The Bible is a collection of narratives of people's lives. And it's to show us what we are supposed to do. David may not have had, they had the Pentateuch, but they didn't have the whole Bible like we have it, where we can look at his story and be like, well, He in the desert hiding in a cave right now in a stronghold, but that's okay because he's going to be king of Israel and he's going to be all right. We have this as a roadmap. They didn't always have all of this. They listened to God and they decided either yay or nay, I'm going to follow you. We can see with this roadmap, this amazing roadmap that God has given us for our lives. This is the best operations manual out there. Because our chief executive officer gave it to us, and he tells us what we can do to be successful in this life. So I would say, read those stories about Joseph and David, and look at all the poops, the little poops. Every time you see something, and you're like, man, dang, why did God allow? Picture that little smiling poop that we use in our text messages. That poop. Put that poop in that part of the story and just count up all the little poops that came along. Their lives, same as ours. Poops are going to come, but we can use them as fertilizer because some of them are ordained to get us to where we need to be. We can use them to help us grow, regardless of what it is. Some situations are horrific in life, horrible situations that people are dealing with right now, things that people in their family before them may have never had to deal with. This is a different world we're living in, and there's so much hatred out there, even on social media. We have our young people killing themselves, and even some older ones because of something that's said on social media. People are hateful. Many of them are hateful, and that's okay. But we don't give them the precedence to set the tone for our life and to dictate how we live. We listen to God. God is the only one who has created us, and He knows what we truly are, regardless of what the cancel culture says. Nobody cares. Let's not give them the opportunity to speak into our lives when they're speaking negatively. Life's too short for that, right? But even in the midst of all the poops that come your way, you didn't get the promotion, you were turned down for this, you were laid off your job, you didn't get the contract, your kids are acting crazy, you have neighbors who are in your yard putting trash, whatever it is, whatever the situation is, you have a loved one who's sick. All of those poops can be used to grow you. They don't feel good, they don't smell good, they don't look good, but in the end, they can be used to grow us. God uses everything. It says all things work together for the good of those who love and serve the Lord and trust in Him and have faith that He is leading their lives. So remember that. Even when you come against poop, look at it as poop, but know it's fertilizer. Let it grow us, let it develop us, and be useful in growing us and strengthening our muscles and pushing us to the next level of the best that God wants for us. So don't often dismiss everything as the devil. Look into it and see and ask God, God, what is it that you need me to learn from this situation? That is difficult to do when you're hurting. It's very difficult to say, oh, I lost my job. What is it that you want to teach me from this situation? But who knows where it will take you? That simple question could take us very far when we let God lead us and guide us and show us what we should learn and how we should develop in that moment. So that is my charge, not only to you, but also to me. This is good for everybody involved because we want to live out the best that God has for us. With that being said, as you come across little poops today, remember this. Those are one day going to be fertilizer for you. You're going to grow beyond that poop and you're going to see that it was used for your good. I want to remind you, we have a speakers conference coming up on June 29th and June 30th, which is next Thursday and Friday. And if you want to learn how to speak confidently and reach your audience effectively, I can show you how to do that. I can give you tips and tricks and talk you through how to be an effective and confident speaker. We know that confidence is what shows up on the stage, or lack thereof, shows up on the stage before you even open your mouth. People can look at you and tell if you're, ones like, oh, we're going to eat you for lunch. And I really think there are people in audiences that are like, I'm going to ask you a hard question just because. But with that being said, there are ways, proven methods, and tips and tricks on how to show up confidently and how to speak effectively, how to formulate messages effectively so that you can reach your intended audience and you can be efficient at doing so. If you are interested, you can go to Eventbrite. I will put the links in this video, so you can check that out. There are also opportunities for one-on-one coaching if you would like a longer-term deal, or say you have an event that you have been called to speak at and you can't sleep at night because you have chest pains and you just don't know how it's going to work out. I would be happy to work with you one-on-one through a coaching engagement. Reach out to me. I'll put all that information in the comments there so you can reach out. Or if you're a leader and you want your team to be more effective in presenting and speaking to your employees, to your front line, I am more than willing to either do an online offering or to come to your site to meet with your team and do a 1 to 2 day intensive where we can meet with small cohorts of these leaders and get them up and get them speaking and get them comfortable using the tips and the trips and tricks and making sure that they are comfortable and confident and effective in what they are portraying to those in your organization. So I'll put all that information in the comments below. Please do reach out. I want to remind you to live for purpose, in purpose, on purpose, and with purpose. Be leaders of dollars, leaders who do things the King's way. That is what God expects of us. He expects us to go out into modern culture and bring people back to Him. So we won't succumb to what culture does. We will do it God's way, and we will win more souls for Him and bring others with us on this journey of leading the King's way. With that being said, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Keep you safe. And I pray that Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart today. Please do reach out if I could be of any assistance. And I would love to hear from you. Take care and God bless.